Sunday morning, July 24th, the gift of faith. Never ministered on the gift of faith. I believe we are a congregation who has been given a gift of faith, a corporate gift of faith. Individually, I believe you may or may not have embraced, I believe, the gift of faith that's been available to you. I've put down here, God seeks to build onto his story through your story. I believe God's intentions. I didn't think these kind of thoughts 30 years ago, 40 years ago when I was 30. I think very differently. I believe essentially the same, and yet there's so many differences, so many aspects that are so different in how I look at life, how I look at Scripture, how I interpret certain passages. The gift of faith being one of them, I believe one of the explanations as to how could a congregation this size in this city be involved and see all the kinds of things that we have seen as a congregation. How is it possible? I believe it's because God gave to us a gift of faith. I believe that's how it's possible. And I believe that in order to enable me, to qualify me to be a pastor, to lead a congregation that has the gift of faith given to it, that it was something I had to develop and be responsive to and obedient to in my own personal life. So my own personal journey. I believe if you would declare in a nutshell, what is our obvious calling is to be a local church. Well, what's the overall assignment that God has given to us to build the house of God? Well, isn't that what a local church is? Yes, but on a much broader scale, on an international scale, I believe we've been called to be involved in the building of the house of God. We've done that in a number of countries. We've done it here. I believe God has been leading us on a pathway to enable us, to equip us. And in order to accomplish it, I believe he has given to us a gift. I believe it's the gift of faith. It's not our story, so to speak. It's his story. It's his calling. It's his plan. Do you think he has a specific calling for every congregation? I do. Is it the same? Well, yes. To be a local church, yes. And to the assignment, the overall arcing assignment for that, I don't have a clue. They're so different. So do I think our overarching assignment is universal? Not in the application that God's called us to do. To be a local church, it's absolutely universal. In that regard, I believe every church has been given the gift of faith to accomplish what it's been specifically and uniquely called for. I believe in all of our lives, God's building a story. I am very impacted by my own life. And I know the path that I started out on. I know how I got to where I did, at least from the earthly standpoint, that it was a series of choices that I mostly didn't have choice about. They were made for me, and I ended up at a place that it was not where my parents wanted me to be. I just know all those things. But I got there out of obedience to those authorities in my life. And God had a plan much bigger than I was. And that's continued my lifetime. So I look at life that way. So do I think we're the only local church that has a gift of faith given to it to accomplish the calling of God? No, I don't believe that. So 1 Corinthians 12:7, there's the listing in 1 Corinthians 12 of what we call the 9 manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. Just to do it quickly, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom. That is a gift that I believe has functioned in me on many occasions. I have learned when I'm in a counseling setting or working with individuals, I have learned that there is a sensing out of my spirit that there is something God wants to bring forth or put together. And I have learned, just as some of you have learned in prophesying, that you have learned that you just have a thought, you have an idea, you have a sentence, that you speak that. The first time I recognized it, I was in a home group, and there was a girl wanting to know how she could do better in her daily Bible readings and several kind of things. How can I do better? And I remember I heard myself say, she wanted discipline. And I heard myself saying, discipline's a choice. It's a choice. I remember the time I said to a young couple, they wanted to know, could we come to this church, this fledgling congregation? I remember I said to them, well, there's only two kinds of people who come here. I wouldn't have labeled at that time a word of wisdom. I just knew when I said that, I don't have a clue what the answer is. Who were the two kinds of people? You know, almost everyone in the room knows. I said, this is a place where people who love God and people who want to love God come. You can be comfortable here if you're in one of those categories. You love God or you want to love God. That's who's welcome here. That's who could find this comfortable. So many times it's functioned where I've heard myself say things I didn't have a clue about. It's supernatural. It's a gift of the Spirit. Word of wisdom. To another, word of knowledge, specific information. If you saw the videos that we have shown, especially when I came back from the Voice of Prophets, you saw a rather well-developed example of the word of knowledge by a number of men who attended that conference, as well as people that you're familiar with, have watched, have followed after. Supernatural knowledge, facts, information, through the same Spirit. Going on, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. It's plural. Gifts of healings. It's like, that's a huge category. So just by looking at that to give a hint, do I think the gift of faith is like the gift of healings? When I was younger, 40 years ago, I would have presented this as really tight boxes. In my 70s, the boxes are far bigger and they're far more porous. What's the difference between the gift of faith and gifts of healings? Wow, can those lines ever cross? Yeah, just when we think we've got it all figured out, it is so much bigger than us. Yet at the same time, God's given it to us so we can have some basic understanding of what's going on. I do not believe the gift of faith and the gifts of miracle, healings or gifts of healings are one and the same, but it's the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. That's a big one. Gifts of healings, working of miracles. There are many healings that you have labeled or you have seen. We think Faye is living through a miracle in this foot. She is living such a pain-free life, and the doctor didn't even want to do the surgery because he said, this is going to be so painful. But if you weren't under the pain that you're under, I wouldn't do it. But because you're in as much pain as you are, this is what he said to her. I was there. I'm going to do it. This is going to hurt. After 2 days, I started a joke in our home between Faye and I. I said, I'm going to ask that guy when we see him, did you really do the surgery? Because she had so little pain. And I did ask him. When we met with him for the first week after the surgery, I said, now, I'm kidding, so please don't get offended, but did you really do the surgery on Faye's foot? She's had so little pain. So is it a gift of healing? Probably. Is it a working of miracles? Probably. I don't know how to do those lines real tight. The other voice in me is, who cares? It's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful. I have a bigger problem. That is slowing her down. It's like, Faye, You've had surgery. Be careful. Be careful. So, to another, discerning of spirits. to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. So, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. It's the same Spirit. So because it's coming from the same source, the lines can be, from our understanding and description and experience, the lines can be a little fuzzy, yet there are lines there. They are different kinds. We characteristically through the years have lumped them in three common groups. They work. I did a lot in this week in looking at this and thinking, I don't think that's the best way to do them. Now, in my 70s, in my 30s, I thought that's the best way to group them. I'm not sure it is, but it's okay. There's what called three revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. That is anywhere from the sensing of the spirit in the spirit realm to all the way to actually seeing in the realm of demons, angels, in the realm of the kingdom of God, and God opening your eyes to dimensions of the realm of kingdom of darkness. It's a whole compendium from just sense it. You're just aware. You just know to where all different kinds of levels, discerning of spirits. There's three gifts that have been called, they've been called classically power gifts. I'm calling them enabling power gifts. That is the gift of faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles. In its initial shortest term, I label the gift of faith is a supernatural ability given to you to focus on and to endure. It's a supernatural ability to focus on. It's not natural. It's supernatural to focus on something God has given to you. The gift of faith is given by the Holy Spirit and enables you, in my opinion, to focus on what he has called you to, assigned you to, given to you, and to endure. Supernaturally, you are able to endure because there's a gift of faith. I built a house with the gift of faith. And as time went on, I found myself doing things that people don't do. They don't build houses the way I build them. I'm not even saying it was a wise way to build a house. Obviously, I didn't contract an engineer when I built my house, to the chagrin of we have very good engineers in the room. And when they walk in my house, they kind of hold their head wondering, is the roof going to fall in? Is the floor going to hold because of the great unorthodox way I built the house and not wasn't intending to do it that way? And people would watch it, and I would tell them, don't you try this. I believe the only reason I'm able to do this is I've been given a gift of faith. And I've chosen to embrace it, and I'm chosen to do the simple things that I believe the Bible teaches of what you do with a gift of faith. But don't try it. This is not normal. You don't build houses this way. We have an upstairs and a downstairs. You got to have stairs to go downstairs. So when I started building the house, we have up in the front right a bedroom. Then we have a large living room. Then we have a kitchen. Then we have a family room. And by that point in time, I hadn't decided where to put the steps. And we only had basically a room left. And said, Faye said, where are you going to put the steps? Well, I think I'll put them right here. This is how we'll go down to the basement. I want to tell you, you don't build a house that way. You don't. You know the story when it came time for me to go and buy the plumbing. I said, well, I got to have three bathrooms. I'll just go to the plumbing supply store and I'll tell them I need the plumbing parts. So I did. And all of you could say, you don't do it that way. Did you have a list? I didn't have a clue what I needed. I just knew I had three bathrooms that I needed to have plumbing gear for and a sink, you know, a kitchen. That's all I knew. So I did. I really did do that. I know, to your chagrin. I really walked into the plumbing supply store and I said, I need all the plumbing that I need for three bathrooms, three full bathrooms, and a kitchen area. And they looked at me like you think they would look at me. But the guy who was the accountant there, we went to church together, and there was a man standing next to me. And the guy said, draw me a picture of your house. I said, okay. The guy behind the counter wanted to know where your list of parts. I don't have a list of parts. I don't know what parts I need. But why was I doing it? Because I believe God had called me to build a house by faith, to do it as He, and He was going to be the provider, and it was time for me to do the plumbing, so I'm going to go to a plumbing supply store. Is it normal? It's not normal. I don't recommend it. When you are given a gift of faith, you can do things that other people, if you're honoring the Lord, if it's God-focused, if it's not something you're doing for your own self, you can do things that other people can't do. Just because you have been given a resource. I believe the Bible name for it is the gift of faith. Now, if it's in a healing ministry, it could be gifts of healing. If it's in a miracle nature, you could say, well, that was a miracle. I know you could. You could label. You could, you know, you can apply labels. And I just, 40 years ago, man, I was great with labels. Today, I'm just not quite as, I use labels, but I'm a little more lenient. So the guy said, draw me your house. So I drew a picture. I still have the picture. And he said, okay, make sure you're going to have a tub, commode, sink, tub, commode, sink, downstairs, tub, commode, sink, kitchen, you're going to have a sink, and so on. So he then took another piece of paper and said, all right, I'll write out a materials list. He wrote out a materials list, and then he put the number I needed of so on, and he drew it. He drew the diagram. This is how you do it. You put here, you got to have a P-trap here, you got to have something go through the roof here, you got to have this here, you got to do all those. Do you understand? Yeah, I understand. Sure, I got it. I got it. And he turned around, handed the list to the guys behind the counter, and he walked out. And the guy who went to the church I did said, do you know who that man is? The Lone Ranger. I knew who he was. No, I don't know who that guy was. I don't have a clue. He said he's one of the finest plumbing architects in the city. He only works on high rise. I've never one time in my life, and he does his buying here, seen him help anybody. Okay? When God is helping you, see that His story that He's asked you to be a part of, that He's invited you to share in the wonder of watching Him work, and your own personal life, you get to be a part of that. I am convinced He wants to do that in all of your lives individually. That He wants to so enrich your life by your recognizing His moment-by-moment involvement in your everyday life. And when you've been given big assignments, to trust Him. Does that mean you can be cavalier and careless and so on? You can't be cavalier and careless. I tell people, don't build a home the way I built a home. I realize I was able to do it because God gave me a gift of faith. And that's why it worked. In the absence of that gift, it would not have worked. So they gave me all the parts. And I plumbed my house based on that diagram. I bought a book on plumbing and I did it the way the guy said to do it. I still have the diagram. The gift of faith. Working of miracles. I believe focus and endurance. Working of miracles, the setting aside of natural laws. You could say that was a miracle. I wouldn't disagree with that. And the third are, we call them inspiration gifts, of which prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. That's the classical listing of them. But the focus is the gift of faith. There's such a thing as, it's a term we give to saving faith. There are many kinds of faith in Scripture. I'm going to go ahead, if you could bump ahead in the slides to where I again have that slide which shows the three gifts of which the gift of faith. I'm going to bypass. The Bible talks about saving faith. There's a measure of faith that God has given to everyone in the spiritual gifts. In Romans chapter 12, Jesus talked about great faith. He talked about, you had faith to be healed. I haven't encountered such great faith. He said to someone, a Roman, who said, you don't even have to come to my house. Just say the word, my servant will be healed. There's all kinds of descriptions of faith that you find. So again, I want to say I was going to have others, but the focus and endurance. So moving to the gift of faith, Hebrews 11:1. I believe Hebrews 11:1, to understand these individuals that are found in here, is I believe that many of them had been given gifts and they functioned according to faith. I believe they had gifts of faith. I believe in all of our lives, because of my own experience, as God was starting you out at this point in time. There's any point in time when he can call you to something that is a part of the story that he has woven, he has called for, and he's enabling you to be a part. Really, it's his story, but he's given you privileges to be a part, and you enjoy the benefits of it, and you'll receive honor and glory if you do it for God and under his purposes. When you get to heaven, you'll be honored for it. And you could say, this is not fair. It's not fundamentally fair. I don't know how many times I've said that. God, you called me to it. You made it possible. You opened the door. You gave me grace. You gave me a gift of faith. And I had to obey. I had to speak like it was what you had said. I had to honor your word. I had to stay focused on you. But the result is, was so much bigger than anything I could do. And you let honor and acknowledgement come to me. And it was you. It was about you. It was your enabling. It's not fair to you, God. And then when I get to heaven, you say you're going to honor us. It's not fair to you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you're going to talk about faith, you have to understand it begins with hope. It begins with something that's painted in front of you. It's a word of promise. It's, I believe, we're talking about faith. We're talking about biblical faith. So it's the word of God, whether it's the spoken word of God to you, whether it's a vision or a dream that God has given to you, or whether in my own life it's an extended series of events, confirmation, circumstances, one of his language systems. But it's now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Something generates hope. If we're talking about biblical faith, and the gift of faith is biblical faith, there's something that generates hope inside of you. I'll say it simply, it's the calling of God. It could come as, I built my house based on the calling of God in a passage that I found in the Bible that said it was a curse to build a house and not live in it. And something sprung up in my heart when I read that verse in the Old Testament. It was a curse to build a house and not live in it. That I said, God, I do not want the net consequence of my life to be a curse. That was a man who was accursed. So even though I need to get a job, I've graduated, I don't have a job here, I am not going to, you know, as much as it depends on me. I had two job offers in different cities, one at Oral Roberts University and one up in the Dakotas. Both were very good jobs. And I said, I can't do it because I've got a house here and it's unfinished. And so it'll qualify in my thinking as the guy who started this house, his life is cursed. I did not want that. But something happened on the inside of me. I believe when I read that, God gave to me through the Holy Spirit a gift of faith to see that accomplished. And part of it is standing for it. You got to stand for it. You have to embrace it. The gift of faith, you have to embrace it. So it's this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It was not seen. And faith is that quality that enables you to hold on to something that's been generated, and the force that's been generated is the force of hope. That hope is based on something. If it's biblical faith, it's based on the word of God. Some things in my life have been initiated by a spoken word, by an understanding that's risen up in my spirit. But faith is based on hope. And biblical hope is based on the word of God. What he has said. And when in my life, when it's a part of the calling, the story, the big story, I believe the analogy is obvious. If it were a dream, called to build a house by faith, because he's calling me to be a pastor of a group that are building the house of God in a unique fashion and to do it by faith. So he's training the pastor to think in that direction. Because we did it without borrowing money. It's why I have led us, except for the first building, paying for the first building, which came far from paying for the first building, or the middle building, or this building, we paid by faith, meaning we didn't borrow any money. Where did that come from? I know where it came from. God showed me. You can build a home. You can pay for it. You can do that without borrowing money. And I said, God, I don't even have a job. You can do that without borrowing money. You can do that without having a job. If you just do what I tell you to do, it doesn't mean you can just do anything you want. You can do that. I understand now how that was possible. I grabbed onto it way back then. It's because you've given me something that's enabling me to do this. It's a gift of faith. The wonderful thing about the realization of the gift of faith is you become God-focused. I'm just working real hard. We can so quickly take the credit. I've worked really hard on this. You see the results of my hand? I've worked really hard. Gift of faith. God gave me a gift. He gave me a promise and he gave me a gift. And I'm living my life in the light of those things. So I believe Hebrews 11, in a large measure, is a look at people who lived by virtue of faith. It is how I see the gift of faith. Now, I've labeled this, it's the relationship between hope and the Word of God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the relationship between hope and the Word of God, which is what, that's what produces hope, my opinion is. Biblical hope is God's Word, however He chooses to communicate that to you. Hebrews 11, 3, by 3, a second element, that's the first element, is hope. Painted to you by God. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. To be framed, it's like even using the analogy of framing a picture. The worlds were framed, brought into being, described by the Word of God, God's spoken Word. So that the things which are seen were not made with things which are visible. They were made by faith. And that was released through God's spoken word. Let there be, let there be, let there be. I remember when I first started out in that direction. Okay, that house, that shell up there is furnished, finished, and paid for to the glory of God. I call you furnished, finished, and paid for to the glory of God. Your mind can scream at you. How's that going to take place? I don't know. But I call you. I named my house. Furnished, finished, and paid for to the glory of God. And I said, God, in essence, I made an agreement with God. I am asking you to provide either the funds or the materials. If I have materials, I will build. If I don't have materials but have funds, I will buy the materials so I can build. But I'm asking either for the funds or the materials. That continues to this day. And it went through a time period when I didn't have a job, had no way to provide for my wife and daughter. Don't do it that way. I tell people, do not do it this way. Unless you are called to it by God. And if you are, then do it that way. What way? The way He leads you to do it. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made out of the things which are visible. I know this is a message that has been greatly abused by the church. I'd say the Western church a lot. Oh, you just speak things into existence. I am not talking about just speaking, go and hunt and peck, Russian roulette, pick, okay, that's a good one. I pick that. And I'll just confess that and it'll come into being. Starts with hope. This passage. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In God, it was resident within sight of Him. And He released it. And we're His children, created in His image. So what God has placed on the inside of us, we release. And the laws of faith are, you frame it by words. Your own creation, your own idea, I like that, I'll choose that. No, hope. Hope that's been given to you by the Word of God. They were made of things which are not visible. By faith, Noah is an example. I believe this is an example of the gift of faith. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, hope. He was warned by God. This is going to happen. I'm letting you know ahead of time. In essence, God said, do something about it. And this is what I want you to do. Build this boat. He moved with godly fear. His eyes were on God. And he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. It was a 100-year project. It seems clear from Scripture he spent 100 years building it. Do I think there were a lot of miracles in that? Of course there were. Where did he get the materials? Big boat. How did he get everything? It's a big boat. I understand up in Kentucky there's a place that's just opened up, supposedly a replica of how big the boat is. The animals, wasn't that a miracle? Of course it was a miracle. What do I see that he did? He was focused. He stayed focused. He endured. He endured, the scriptures tell us, the ridicule of the people, the ridicule of those who didn't understand. He endured. I believe when you are called of God to do something, it's a part of the story, his story, that he is enabling you, inviting you to be a part of the demonstration, bringing in Romans 12, 1 and 2, to bring an example, a witness to the world of the wisdom of God. How can you do what you're doing? It's the wisdom of God. It's the enabling of God. That's how. The gift of faith, I believe, enables you to focus on what hope has been spurred in your heart by the word of God, and it enables you to focus on it and endure. You've heard the stories that I've told about building my house when the wall caved in, not once, not twice, three times. And then a bulldozer ran into the side of my house and not only crushed it down again, but crushed the end wall. I know people would say, give up, forget it. Why didn't you just give up and forget it? I don't know. That wasn't even an option in my thinking. It's not an option. So what'd you do? Had to dig it out yet again. I had to push the wall out, fill it with concrete, put retreat rods. Someone said, you should have done that in the beginning. I know. I don't build the way I did. Just don't do it. There was an enabling to endure. Well, that's just because you were phlegmatic. Forget it. The gift of faith enables you, if you embrace it, to endure and stay focused on what God has painted, the hope that he has painted in your heart. Along the way, would gifts of miracles be a part? Certainly, depending on the magnitude of the thing. Could gifts of healings come in? Of course they could. Revelatory gifts, could they be a part? Of course. It's the same Spirit, and he's working all of that. Same thing I think I give just the beginning of the Abraham story. By faith, Abraham obeyed. It's the third dimension you got to obey. A, it starts with hope. Given to you because of the word of God. Spoken to you, revealed to you, communicated to you. B, it's framed by words. It is, D, I'll say C, it is staying focused and enduring. That's what I believe the gift of faith enables you in a supernatural way. How did you do that? Well, actually, it was a gift, and I just knew it was going to take place, and so I just started agreeing with what I was convinced God had laid on my heart. I just started agreeing with it. And fourth is you obey. What God shows you to do, what God tells you to do. In this instance, it wasn't practical, it wasn't smart, it wasn't all those things for Abram at that time to leave where he was living and go to a place where he had no idea where he was going and be led by who was leading you in an idol-filled area of the world at that point in time in history. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. The gift of faith enables you to sometimes start out when you don't know where you're going. I believe it is the reason that this small congregation has been privileged to see all the kinds of things we've seen over the last nearly 35 years. In a few months, it'll be 35 years. I believe it is not because we're so wonderful or so smart. I believe it's been because of the gift of faith. There's gifts of healings that are certainly functioning in our congregation. There's many in here who have seen the gift of miracles work on different occasions. Absolutely. But I believe the explanation for why you have been able to stay focused and stay the course and endure and are where you are today, I believe both in me it was necessary to be developed and in you it was necessary to be developed. And what I believe is taking place this week, and really it's the 1st of August, the big day is August the 1st, understanding that August the 1st, because of the calendar system, could be August the 1st, August the 2nd, the evening of August the 1st, the day of August the 2nd. It could be that. That what we're doing is we're walking in what we have been called to from, I believe, the foundation of time. And it got set in motion. The story began to unfold and we began to live by faith. You look at the building of the building. We built that first building. All of the buildings. The middle building we paid for. We raised the money to pay for that when we paid in 5 years when we paid for the first edition. We paid to have the middle edition done completely. And then we built this one. Dave, I'm convinced Dave Tomlanovich had been given a gift of faith. I was there. I stood in the parking lot when there was a guy. I said, when are you going to move in? It was 3 weeks. He said, well, we're going to move in before the end of December. And he said, anybody can live in a barn. Dave said, we're not going to be in a barn. How did it take place? Because Dave Tomlanovich was such a good builder. Dave is a good builder. But it is not because Dave was such a good builder. Because we had been given a gift of faith. And we'd been told, you can't do it. You cannot do. And we worked hard. There are some people who worked incredibly hard. The gift of faith, it is a wonderful thing. How do I look at my life and begin to even think in terms, God, have you granted me a gift of faith? Has he spoken clearly to you a word that's painted hope that for some reason inside your heart, that verse, you look at that and that is so attractive to you. That just seemed, that's right. And there's somehow a desire in your life, I'm going to live that or see that. That it's alive in you. It's not just on the shelf and that's good, I'll take one of that, I could take three of those, that. It's not a shelf item. It's something that has life on the inside of you. I'm just saying, trying to describe with words how it has been in my own life. And so it is with the assignment that we find ourselves stepping into on Wednesday, flying 7 o'clock approximately out of McGee Tyson Airport. Your story. It's our story. It's really the story God is writing. And he's given us the privilege to be a part of the story that is way beyond us. Is halfway around the world. It doesn't make sense. That's the beauty of the gift of faith. And if you do it, God will reward you. He'll reward you. It's like it's not fair to God. That is the God I serve. So life has been easy for you. Faye and I have lived and are living an absolutely wonderful life. Is it pain-free? No. No. I love pastoring New Covenant Fellowship. I don't have a desire to do anything else. Has it been pain-free? No, it's not been pain-free for you dealing with me. It's not always been pain-free for me dealing with you. It's life. Would I want to do something different? No. I'm asking you to, if you're not going, I'm asking you to give an hour this starting on when the prayer schedules are there. Come for an hour. Come every other day. Come every day. Come for 2 hours. My schedule is so tight, I only have 15 minutes. I doubt that it's that tight, but give 15 minutes. Well, I can pray in my home. I agree. I could pray in my car or shower. I pray in a, if we have a food room at our house, I pray in the food room. I understand. Turn the lights out, it's dark. I, But there is a dimension of gathering together, an agreement, that creates a greater dimension. That's why I'm joining Kathy and asking you, come and join. There'll be someone here. When they start, there'll be someone here until we return. Come and join them. You wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you just can't sleep. And you're wide awake. You just absolutely can't sleep. And you've got this thing on your mind that's going on in Russia. What should I do? Get your clothes on, come to the church and pray. I believe it's our story. Not initiated by us. And it's not just play acting, because you really do have choices. And they make a difference, the choices you make. But when you have been given the gift of faith, you have the ability, a supernatural ability, to endure and stay focused. So, thank you for being here. We'll be gone 8 days. We leave in 3 today, Monday, Tuesday. So 8, 9, 10. Next 11 days. Will be the launch of the end time global harvest. It will be launched. And the starting point is in a small area in Russia.